Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Platinum 2 Executive Director Randy Moore from Oklahoma, and I want to welcome everyone to tonight's Monday, October 3rd, 2011, More Success Team Legal Shield Group Training Call. We host this special call the first Monday of every month, and it's designed especially for our More Success Team associates that are interested in the group marketing aspect of Legal Shield. Each month, we feature one of the top trainers on our team, and to introduce tonight's special guest, I want to go to Ada, Oklahoma, of course, to the leader of our More Success Team now in his 27th year with Legal Shield. I want to welcome my dad, Mr. Ken Moore, to the call. Are you on, Mr. Moore? Could you hear me, Mr. Moore?
Yes, I'm on the call, so I'm going to...
Do we have Mr. Moore on the call? Do we have Ms. Bowden on the call?
I had myself muted out, Randy. I'm sorry.
I've been talking, but all right. Go ahead, Mr. Moore.
Okay. You ready to... Now, Linda, I had to step away for just a second.
Yes, sir. I've already been through that. Ready for you to announce her.
Ooh, okay. I apologize. It's, well, Randy, I tell you what, this next speaker is somebody I'm really partial to. I think a lot of started working with 24 years ago. She's been an associate since 1987. She's perfectly trained by Wilburn and myself. She's a multi Golden App Award. I don't know how many, so many. Multi Top Retention Award winner. She served as RBP. She served as group trainer. She served as Platinum Jacket earner, 200,000 plus income earner, inaugural Millionaire Club member. She's taught group schools in over 20 states. She's built an organization that has hundreds of thousands of memberships. And after 24 years, she's still in the game. She's still running strong. A very great team member for the More Success Team. A great asset to Prepaid Legal, period, and a great friend of the families. She calls me her adopted daughter. I might just claim her for full daughter. She keeps on being good, Randy. But my privilege, and my privilege, I say over and over again, to introduce Miss Linda Bowden. Linda, welcome to the call.
Well, thank you, Kenneth. And I must be like Methuselah's sister. I couldn't have possibly done all those things. I actually sat down and wrote all the things that I've more or less accomplished in, or.
You did great, wonderful, wonderful.
You know, in all these years, and I thought, man, I couldn't have done all that, could I? But I've got so much to do. And so, first of all, what I want to talk about tonight, and a lot of this might sound basic to some people. This is for all levels on the phone, but these are actually things that I do, and I think really what I learned from one of my mentors in sales, Mr. Tom Hopkins, is, you know, you've got to go back to the basics at least once a year. You need to go back and reexamine what are you doing right, what do you need to change, and a lot of times it's the basic things that you've done on and on over the years that has really gotten you through the years. And so, you know, So the title of what I was going to talk about tonight is really stepping up your group business during unique times. And I call these unique times. You can call them up whatever times you want to call them, but I usually use the word unique to describe anything that I really don't want to describe. I mean, we know. We're watching the news. We know what's going on. And I'm sure that we would all agree we're in some unique times right now, really unprecedented times, in fact, and that calls for very special measures, even in the group business. In fact, you can't do your group business the way you've always done it and expect the same result. It's like anything. There's no way that I could do my group business the way, let's say, I did 10 years ago because nothing applies anymore. Everything's different. Now, there's certain basic things that you do, and you'll always do them, and you'll do them throughout your career, but now's the time that we really need to step it up. We need to step it way up. Just listen to some of the top group people. And the ones who are willing to volunteer information may say something like Dave Paperno, which I really respected him for saying this. And Dave Paperno said on the top group call last week, he said, you know, it used to take 15 calls to make 2 appointments. So he does a lot of calling to make appointments. He used to do 15 calls to make 2 appointments. He says now it takes 50 calls to make 2 appointments. So he's stepping it up. He's stepping it way up. He's still making the calls. He still wants to get 2 appointments. Times are a little bit unique right now. So he's stepping it way up, and he's making 50 calls. for those of you who are recruiting, let's say group producers or people that are going to do sales. Like I know Cheryl Ann Degatta's on the call, and she's recruiting people to do sales. You know, I've done this for many years. In today's climate, here's what I found. For me personally, and I've done this for, I've been recruiting people in that area of the business since 1992, and here's what I found. It takes twice the number of contacts in today's market to recruit half as many people. So twice as many contacts, recruit twice, to, you know, to recruit half as many people. So what am I doing? I'm stepping it up. This is reality. And you adopt your psychology, the adopted psychology of a seasoned vet goes like this. This is the way I think. This is the way I think Randy probably thinks. I know Ken thinks this way. Maybe Bob Pilcher thinks this way and other people on the call. But here's the psychology for today. This will change. I just have to do what it takes right now until the conditions change. I have my foot firmly planted on the accelerator, and I'm standing on the gas pedal. That's what I'm doing. I'm just standing on that gas pedal. I'm not going to let up until things change. In other words, I'm not giving up. I'm stepping up. And for those of you that are on the call, if things seem a little bit off or a little bit different, just know that you need to step up. I'm guessing that most of us on this call have been affected one way or the other, especially if you've been doing this for a while. If you're new, you won't be affected at all. You just go out and you'll just start from the beginning. But you may be getting one app out of a group instead of the 10 you're used to getting. I had someone look at me on Saturday and said, I only got one app yesterday out of this group that I usually get 10 or 15. And I said, hey, celebrate the one app. It's okay to celebrate the one app, because this is temporary. Just keep your foot on the gas pedal. Keep on stepping it up. But let's be real, and let's get it all out there. We're experiencing downsizing in our group, personnel changes. Thank goodness I've had two HR personnel changes, and that was a positive thing for me. Some of you maybe it's not so much of a positive thing. Employees whose hours and wages are being cut, people are being laid off. Our businesses, our groups are going out of business. So this is the kind of climate it is. In some places it's worse than others, but it's going on out there. And as I said, these are very unique times. But fortunately for all of us on this call, there are solutions. And for those of us who step up now, we will reap the rewards tenfold later on, I promise. Absolutely. If you are standing on that gas pedal right now and you keep on staying on that gas pedal, when things change, you are going to be so much further. You're going to be so much more ahead of the game. So it's time to engage in activities to keep our members and to keep our groups. I look at this as being a challenge. If you want to make something fun, make it a game. Now, I don't know where I learned this. I learned this years ago. I have no idea who I got this from. And I didn't even realize that I would say it, but it's been pointed out to me on many occasions that when I go to do something that I don't particularly want to do, I will always say, well, let's just make this a game. I didn't even know I was saying that. But I'd learned it years ago, and I adopted it. So if you want to make something fun, make it a game. If you want to have fun and make it a game, you have to change your thinking. See, we have to just change our thinking. Things are a little bit unique right now, so I'm going to make it a game, I'm going to make it fun, and find a new way to get this thing done. And in order to change your thinking, and this is deep, you have to change your thinking. In order to change your thinking, you just have to change your thinking. Okay? You look at every appointment you have as something you get to do today. This isn't something you have to do. If you love the group business, man, this is something you get to do. Okay? You get to do this every day with an adventure behind every door. And I know any of us that are on the line right now, we have all had adventures behind that next door. I mean, if you've lived and breathed in the group business, you've had an adventure. And I was just trying to think of a couple of adventures I had. One was at a high school district. I was trying to set up a high school, and it was in the summer, and I was in Arizona. It was probably about 120 out. And I go walking up, I think it was the end of the day, I go walking up the door to this high school. And out popped this little secretary. You know, I guess she was the doorkeeper or whatever you want to call it. She comes popping out behind the desk, and I mean, she was like a mini little, she reminded me of Catherine Walden. She was a little tiny lady, but man, she was a mighty mouse. And she looked at me, and she put her hands on her hips, and she looked at me, and she said, "Who are you?" and who are you with? And I thought, I remember thinking in a split second, I thought, wow, she's not going to get the best of me today. And I said, well, I'm Linda, and I'm with Legal Services. I just simply said I was with Legal Services. And, you know, from that moment on, I always introduced myself as being from Legal Services because they didn't know what to think. She looked at me, her mouth up, wide open. She ran in the back room. She grabbed the superintendent. He came running out. He grabbed me. He brought me back in his office. He sat me down. He goes, okay, are you here for the computer? The computer break-in, or are you here for this, or you're here for this or this? This superintendent had like four huge legal challenges going on. Now, I had a split second to make a decision about what was I going to do. Either Mighty Mouse was going to make me back down, or I wasn't going to back down to Mighty Mouse, and I didn't. And instead, I got a group that I've had for many, many years from that experience. The next experience that I thought of was the City of Moore. Probably a little known fact. Ken may or may not remember this, but I actually opened up the City of Moore. And the story on how I opened that one, it's too long to go into on this call, but one of the things that I'll always remember in my magic moments in my group life is there was a new HR director. There was everyone in the City of Moore when I walked in was interim. There was the interim city manager, the police chief was interim, the fire chief was being the city manager, and there was a brand new personnel director, and I had to kind of make my way through the maze. And there was this secretary that sat out in front in the middle of everything, and I'll never forget walking up, and I wanted to talk to the new HR director. And she looked at me, and she says, you're not going to do this. And I looked down at her, and I said, watch me. And I don't know if we still have the City of Moore, but that was one of those moments where it was a split second. I went back, and the HR director happened to be an old city manager that I'd worked with in another community, and the rest was history. It was approved. So those are some adventures behind every door, and you never know what that adventure is going to be. You know, I know what the facts are now. You know, if you halfway pay attention to the news, and I really, really don't pay much attention to the news because, like we all know, the news is not positive. It's mainly negative. I'm aware of the facts. But when I make it all, you know, when I make it all a game, I just ignore the facts. So you know what the facts are, and then you ignore the facts because, to me, it's a temporary reality. I understand the facts, and I ignore them. That's the first thing that I do. So if I know the facts of the situation, and even if those facts aren't very good, if I know what they are, I say, okay, I know what the facts are. I'm now going to ignore them. I've now got my game plan, and I'm going to now move forward. Okay? So that's the first thing that I do. So stepping up for your group business is during unique times. Okay? So understanding the facts or conditions is number one. Adjust and then ignore them. Everybody got that? Know what the facts are. You say, okay, I know that this is going on, and this is going on, and this is going on, and, you know, maybe there were some layoffs, morale's a little bit low, and there's a new director of sales or new HR director, whatever. Okay, I got the facts. Now I'm going to have a game plan. So I know what the facts are, so now I have a game plan. And I ignore the facts. Because, see, I'm making it a game. It's still going to be fun, no matter what the facts are. It's still going to be fun. There's still going to be that mystery behind or adventure behind that door. It's all a mindset. So the bottom line with all this is don't buy into the doom and gloom. Just don't even buy into it. Your world is all about what you think all day long. You create the world based on what you think all day long. Your thinking will make you or break you. So make it game day every day. See, every day is a game day. Every day is going to be fun. It's a new day. You know what the facts are. Make a game day and go out and have fun. Okay. Number two, really ramp up your level of service. Now, there's probably dozens of things that we can do to ramp up our level of service. I will give you some of the little things that I will do or you could do to set you apart. Some of these things seem so basic, but you know what? It's that slight edge. It's doing these little things every day, year after year after year, that kind of gets you ahead. Number one, how many times a year does your HR director, contact person, superintendent, et cetera, hear from you? It used to be we'd go out to the group once a year, let's say during in-service. We'd make our phone calls or we'd go out, we'd set up all our meetings. We'd go out there and that would be it. They'd see us then and then they wouldn't see us for the following year. And that's the way I did it for year after year after year. Then I began to realize, especially when new carriers were coming into all my groups, it used to be just me. I'd have my little meetings whenever I wanted to, and I know some of you have that luxury. But little by little over the years, when I worked in Arizona, that changed. And I didn't have that luxury anymore of being able to set up my own times and my own events. I kind of had to be out there with the crowd. So now it may be necessary to be in front of your HR director or your decision maker more than once a year. You know, I might see them or call on them, you know, during their insurance and service to make sure, for example, let's say you've got a lot of my school districts, you know, of course, schools start for a lot of them in August or September, but they get their insurance packets in, like, March or April. So what I figured out, I'm like, you know what? Why can't I have some of my information in with their insurance packets when they get their insurance, you know, everybody gets an insurance packet, you know, handed out to them. Every single employee gets that insurance packet. I never see every single employee in a lot of my groups. That's just reality. It's just almost impossible to see all of them because they're in all different nooks and crannies and departments and maybe not there when you see them. So I discovered that why can't you put information to be included in with their insurance packs in the spring? Something to think about. I make sure that everyone has enough replenishment packs for new hires. That was something that I didn't do for years. I finally figured it out. I'm a real slow learner. Maybe some of you have been doing that a lot longer than me, but a few years back I thought, you know what? My groups need to have really nice replenish packs so if I'm not there, I have packs that can do the talking for me. Okay, and some of my groups, that's the only way that I can get in front of new hires is if I have some kind of a replenishment pack, you know, with like, you know, the brochure, applications, whatever it is you want to put in there so that they can see who we are. Could you call and set up an ID theft lunch and learn? I know some of you are probably doing that. You know, you do a lunch and learn for one of your favorite groups, no selling, just lunch and learn. You buy the lunch, put an identity theft workshop, you're giving yourself extra value, and if anybody wants to sign up, you know, they could call you or whatever. You know, you don't want to make it a big selling event. You want to make it a goodwill event, but you will definitely get more memberships and more service there. And also those replenishment packs that I was talking about, some of my groups call me. If they're low in packets and they're going to have new hires, they will call me and let me know, you know, we're low in packets, can you send more out? So that's cool. So that's a way of getting in front of my groups when I'm not there. Now, I'm sure there's other ways. I'm sure there's probably ways that we could email them information or drip articles on them or mail them things. You know, there's probably a whole bunch of other ways that we can get in front of them. The whole idea, though, is to be in front of that group in one way or another or the decision makers more than once a year. Number two, this is really basic, but I am so amazed at how many people don't do this. Make sure everyone knows how to get a hold of you, okay? I'll never forget going to a group school many years ago, and the group trainer at the time didn't want anybody calling them. They just gave them the phone number to the home office, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I want my members to call me. I want them to call me on the phone. If they forgot how to use their service, I want to be there. When my members call me, I coach them on how to use the service. I totally coach them on that first call that they're going to make. That is so invaluable that you can coach a brand new member how to have a mega successful call. And one of the things that I always tell them is write down your questions. When you call in and that liar calls you back, you want to make sure that you've got your questions written down so that you clearly know what you're going to talk to that attorney about. And so when you get off the phone, you know that you have had a tremendous consultation. I said, I want to make sure that you have a tremendous consultation your first time around. So making sure that everyone knows to get a hold of you. They should have your phone number. New members should have your phone number. HR, everyone should have your phone number. Here's some of the ways, of course, in which you can do it. You give out business cards to everyone you talk to, whether they buy or not. That's real basic. But you know what? Believe it or not, some people don't do that. People love business card magnets. Now, I'm hoping that we'll be getting business card magnets now with our new business card. I tell you what, that was one of the best things that I've ever done. People worth every penny. Business card magnets. love it. They're little. I don't even know how much they cost a piece. It's worth every penny. Because when you're doing a group and you're handing out magnets and you've got big, fat pens that you're handing out, especially when you're with other insurance people, man, you look really cool because you're handing them tangible, big things that they can hold on to. I can't even explain it, but people just really like it. Everyone, they love to look and feel the magnet. It's kind of substantial, so it's like your business card they can throw in your refrigerator, you know. When I send out replenishment packs, I always include a stack of magnets. So I will even, when I send out my packs, I'll do like a box, you know, one of those priority mail boxes. I'll put my packets in there. I throw in a stack of magnets. Always send a personalized note to that bookkeeper or HR director. Always. I send them, I get Sock Monkey cards. I get cards that really entertain me. If I have real fun cards around that I really laugh and I see them and I'm really entertained by them, those are what I'm going to buy, and that's what I'll send out to a bookkeeper or an HR director, and I'll put maybe a magnet in there. But when I send out those replenishment packs, I've got a stack of magnets, and along with the magnets, I also hand out personalized pens. I get those, you know, you can buy pens through companies. You can get them in bulk. You know, and I have my name, I have Life Events Legal Plan on there, and my phone number. And I usually get the big fat ones with the nice grip. People love them. They'll fight over those pens. So when I send my replenishment packs in the mail, I will also include a little package of pens, okay, maybe 10, a handful of pens, maybe, you know, around 10 pens. I'll wrap them up, and then I'll put a little note on there. Isn't it funny how there's never enough pens? So I send them pens for their office. So when the replenishment packs go out, I send them a few extra magnets for the office, also some pens for the office, also a note or a note to that HR director. Worth every penny. Trust me, worth every penny because they know that you care about them. You're investing in your business. And then, you know, of course, during a group setting, like I said, other insurance people, you know, your stuff kind of sets you apart. Okay, they don't all, sometimes they give up, you know, I remember, what was it, MetLife was giving out hand sanitizing stuff last year and everything. Anyhow, here's something really big that I learned from Jason Lavender this year, and this was really fun for me because a lot of my groups, they've been seeing me for years. But Jason Lavender, see, we steal from each other. Yeah, someone gives you a good tip, do it. He said he gives out easy buttons. You know the easy buttons that you get at Staples? They're like $5. So I buy a whole bunch of easy buttons. The easy buttons also go out with my packet, okay, to my HR director, bookkeeper, et cetera. Hey, easy buttons, it's fun. It keeps things light and funny, and they're only $5. My lady, one of my fire departments, she says, oh, my gosh, the easy button. Everybody has to walk by and push that easy button. But she loves it, and it's $5. So I throw that in the box, too. Okay, number three, more communication. Remember, we're really setting ourselves apart from the pack. And one of the biggest things that you can ever do, and by golly gosh, I learned this 24 years ago, one of the biggest things that you can ever do, even in today's society, more than ever, to set you apart from the pack, are thank you notes. I cannot tell you enough. I learned from the best. For those of you that are new in sales, you've got to get How to Master the Art of Selling by Tom Hopkins, How to Master the Art of Selling. I remember in that book, I listened to the book on tape for 3 solid years every single day. And I'm not kidding about every single day. Even on Sunday, I would listen to it in the bathroom in the morning when I was getting ready. Every day I listened to him. And the first thing that I could do when I was going through these 24 tapes I listened to for 3 solid years is I could do a thank you note. And when I was brand new in group marketing, everyone that I saw that day when I'd go out in the field got a handwritten thank you note from me. It didn't have anything big, just a little paragraph telling them that you were so glad to meet you today. I really appreciate what you do. Look forward to seeing you soon. Put my name on there, throw a business card in there, and send it out to them. Tom Hopkins, he was like 26 years old, making over a million. He was a millionaire. He was doing 10 thank you notes a day. I figured out I could do that, and so I started doing that. Everyone, for example, that I talked to at the City of Mustang, for those of you in Oklahoma, you know where the City of Mustang is, everyone that I talked to in 1988 for the City of Mustang received a note from me until I reopened the group. I mean, I literally wallpapered the town of Mustang with thank you notes. It was that many. It was that funny. But I know that's why I got the group. I mean, I just thanked them to death until they finally let me in. I had little skill, but I could write notes. So for those of you that feel like you have little skill, hey, get those thank you notes going. And I still do them today. I mean, I'm a little bit behind now, but in the digital age, when everything's about email and this kind of mail and that kind of mail and all this stuff, I tell you what, in the digital age, a thank you note goes a long way. Be old school and write a note and let people know that you care. Number four, buy lunch or donuts or whatever. You can be like Rob Vest, feed your people. Probably a lot of you do. Sometimes I buy breakfast or lunch during school in service. Like some of my smaller schools, if you sponsor their lunch, you know, you get to do a whole program for them. And the lunch, it was crazy. I remember sponsoring a lunch for a school. I think it had like 35 people there, and I think the lunch, I mean, for 35 people, I think it was like $100. It was just, it was so inexpensive, it was almost insane. I thought maybe she gave me the wrong number, but I mean, that's how inexpensive it was to feed all these people at school. I bought lunch for a group of superintendents one time for their meeting, and it was worth every penny. I think that one was a couple $100, but the superintendent of all the superintendents is a real politician. He just smiled at me and said, that'll be $200. And I said, okay, a little payola to buy lunch for superintendents. I got two new school districts out of the deal and created goodwill with the other superintendents, and that gave them an opportunity to see me again outside of being at the beginning of school. Number five, invest in gift cards in $10 increments. Use them in group presentations for drawings at the end of presentations. One of the things that I do, and I learned this one, oh my goodness, I learned about Walmart gift cards in the 80s. I thought it was at first I thought it was the silliest thing. I remember Jerry told me you got to buy Walmart gift cards, and I thought, are you kidding? That just sounds kind of crazy to me. But I bought them, and I buy them now in $10 increments. And here's what I do: I have a roll of tickets at the beginning of the presentation. This is for people that have seen me like for years. I'll say, okay, you all know the drill. Everybody take one ticket, put your name on it, and you get a free ticket for this drawing. Just for listening to me today, you get a free ticket. And then for everyone that signs up today, you get 5 tickets. For everyone that's a current member, you get 5 tickets. I used to do it something like that, and I said, and then we'll decide what we're going to draw for. So I have cards in increments. Sometimes I'll ask the group, do you want me to draw 10 tickets for $10? So in other words, 10 gift cards, you know, 10 gift cards, or would you rather have one winner get $100 in gift cards? So I let them decide how they want me to do it, and usually they want everybody to get one $10 gift card, but it's always fun. I always get more sign-ups. People want to win a gift card. I also send coffee cards to some of my key people who help me year after year after year. For example, I have a director of transportation at one of my schools who has seen me, oh my goodness, for as more years than I can remember, who lets me come in year after year after year, lets me speak for 30 minutes. Very least that I could do. I mean, of course, she's got an easy button. She's got pens. She's got magnets. And I'll send her a card with a coffee card in there. And sometimes if there's a local coffee shop in the area, like this one that's local that's really, really good, I'll get gift cards from that local coffee shop to support the local, you know, to support local. Okay? Do not ever take these people for granted. These people that let you in, these people that are kind, these people that are good to you, these people that help you, you know, write membership, you never, ever take them for granted. You thank them. You always let them feel appreciated. When you can, you know, also invest in their causes. Offer to supply the local elementary school with red ribbons for Drug Awareness Week. I contributed to the local animal shelter for one of my cities to help get the local cats and dogs spayed and neutered one year. This was the animal shelter's director's pet project. Do you think she let me in to talk to all of her people? Absolutely. Plus, it was a cause that I really, really believe in. It was something that was dear and near to my heart, so it was a pleasure for me to do anyhow. If you work with fire departments, oh, my goodness, contribute to their Christmas toy drive. You know, I have some fire departments that I've worked with my entire career, you know, and I work with their union, the very least that I could do, especially in some of these smaller, very depressed communities, is offer to help them with their toy drive, whether it's a contribution, a toy, or whatever it is. Also, Number seven, what associations can you join? I did an identity theft workshop at a county fire chiefs meeting. Scared the daylights out of the fire chiefs. It was really funny to see a bunch of fire chiefs running around going, oh, my gosh, this is a few years ago before people really realized that identity theft was a really big problem. And by being part of this association, I'm part of the Arizona Fire District Association, and the fire chiefs let me speak at their county association. I actually opened up some new groups by just offering to do an identity theft workshop, you know, for these fire chiefs. It also added to lifelong relationships and also got some of the fire chiefs to see me another time during the year. In closing, these are very simple things that, when applied by using the slight edge, will keep you in the game even during the toughest of times. Just adjust your thinking cap and start having fun. I know Kenneth Moore would approve of that.
Well, Linda, you know about that fun thing. Remember back in 88, it was sleeting, it was snowing. And I said to you that day, I said, Linda, let's don't worry about if we make a sale today. Let's just go out and have fun. And by having fun, we had a great day. I'll never forget that. Sleeting, snowing, you couldn't hardly see at the time, scraping ice off a windshield, but we just made a fun day of it and had a good time. Remember that?
Absolutely. And I mean, just.
I also remember the day that you showed up with a black eye and we went to a fire department. You told them the reason you had a black eye, you had a mean boss and pointed to me. I haven't forgotten that, and I'm still going to get even with you. But
we wrote a lot of business that day, though.
Sure did. I mean, those guys were scared to death if saw how black your eye.
Uh-huh.
So it was a great time. We thank you. What a great, great lot of things you did, Linda. Appreciate you so much. You always have been a winner. You're a real winner. You just get better every year, and I'm sure Randy will say something to you. But I do appreciate you very much.
Oh, and I appreciate you very much as well.
Yeah, Linda, we appreciate you, and thank you for always stepping up. And anytime we've asked you, you've always been there and responded with great information, great content, and we're just very, very proud you're part of the team.
Thank you. Thank you, all the Moorites that are on the line right now. I know we're all missing Monday Night Football, but that's not a bad thing.
Well, in about 30 minutes, we've got another great speaker on. In a week from tonight, we've got Mr. Rip Mason himself on. And next month, the first Monday in the month, we've got Mr. Mark Seguin. So we've got a lot of good things lined up. This is going to finish out a bang-up good year. So, folks, we'll be listening for you on the next call. God first, family second, Legal Shield. I almost had prepaid, but I caught myself. Legal Shield next. God bless y'all, and we'll catch you on the next call.
Good night, everyone.